Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 67 of Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. I'm Josh Nason, writer, editor, and podcaster for the website. Hope you guys are having a great week. And for those here in the States, hope you have are having a great Memorial Day, depending on when you listen to this or have some good plans. Long weekend here for us, and the UFC has not left us without a show to talk about and all kinds of other stuff going on this week. This is a busy week news-wise. And obviously, we have a less newsworthy show happening on early Sunday morning in Stockholm, Sweden, headlined by Alexander Gustafsson and Alexander Gustafsson, wish it was Tom Lawler, and Glover Teixeira headlining a show on, you can see on FS1 on early Sunday morning, and help me talk about that, as well as talk about a fine feature that he wrote for our very website that got released on Friday about Arena Mexico and his first trip there. Dave Doyle from MMA Fighting, our old friend, stopped by, joined me for a little over half an hour, and we talked about CMLL, we talked about a little bit about the Stockholm show, really just kind of the main event and what Gustafsson and Teixeira have to lose, and also some of the news of the week, talked a little bit about the plight of title fights right now, where we have potentially Demetrius Johnson fighting TJ Dillashaw, what that means. The fact that now, due to GSP's reported eye injury that he talked about on Friday, that looks like it's inevitable that we're going to see Bisping and GSP. And also, we talk a little bit about Roy Nelson's signing with Bellator on Friday, what that means for him, the division, and Bellator's heavyweights as a whole. So, fun conversation coming up. Enjoy it, and we'll get right to it with Dave Doyle of MMAfighting.com, and as of today, or at least for this feature anyway, of WrestlingObserver.com. Well, it was Memorial Day weekend, and we are we like driving. I want to say driving music, but you know, my voice is music to people's ears. I've heard, and my guest is as well. He joins us after being a few months away from our show, but we're happy to welcome back. He is officially a member of our site for a long time, and now he's really part of the family. A great feature that ran Friday on our site on his first trip to Arena Mexico, seeing CMLL, some Lucha Libre action and really fun stuff. You can find that on our site, obviously, WrestlingObserver.com. We welcome the man from MMA Fighting himself, the pride of Massachusetts, Dave Doyle. And Dave, we'll start with the really hardball questions first, even though you're a past guest. So you got to appreciate where I'm going with this. How are the bike tires going? I saw recently you got in an accident of some sort. There was a flat tire. The people are wondering, how are you doing?
Doing okay. I actually can change a flat tire now, so baby steps. I am one of the most mechanically disinclined people on earth, but I've finally graduated to the point in my 40s where I can change a bike tire, so one thing at a time.
That's very impressive. Now, you're like a biking madman. I see you on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. You're going all these long trips and all this stuff. This is you talked about a lot the charity you were doing some work for this is a health thing, but also this isn't just like a fad you're going through. This is like part of your life now.
Pretty much is. You know, I don't know how old you are, Josh, but I'm 44 years old, and when I turned 40, I just have this, like, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I can just get old really fast, or I can challenge myself and do something while I'm still young enough. So I think there's some type of profound lesson in there, but, I just like riding my bike.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, I'm 39. And my 40-year-old goal is to fight in the UFC. So that is going to be what I think I'm going to do. If CM Punk can do it, why can't I do it, right?
There you go. Well, you got, like I said, it was 40 when I made my decision, so you got a year left to figure out what you're going to do.
Okay, good to know. So everyone look forward to that, me in the octagon at some point at age 40. So I think your journey is going to go a lot better than mine. So this works out good because there's a lot of random UFC and MMA news this week, but I want to talk about the piece which came out today, and I was very happy to edit and read through it and post on the site. And so this has been kind of in the works for a few weeks. So let's get a little bit of backstory. Again, people, read the story. It's fun. It's a read. It'll take you, you know, probably about, you know, 10 minutes or so to read, but it's well worth the journey through. So you, you're we've talked about before, you're a wrestling fan from the past, and I think a lapsed fan like a lot of us have been throughout the years, where you follow along, you kind of have a appreciation for it, and you mentioned the piece that you watch the occasional match that people are talking about, but you're not necessarily a, I'm going to watch Raw every week, I'm going to watch SmackDown every week, WWE Network, all this stuff, and have it consume hours and hours and hours every week, which, again, a lot of us are in that position. But Lucha Libre, as you mentioned, living out in Los Angeles, it is on, it's on TV, and sometimes it's the same time slot, but not necessarily the same product all the time, which is kind of funny. And it's just, it's part of the culture out there, and you had the opportunity and wanted to go to Arena Mexico. What first sparked the interest to go?
As I mentioned in my piece, there is so much lucha on TV out here that it's like you can't avoid it, like even if you want to. There are just hours and hours and hours of CMLL, and it's a little weird because there's a fair bit of AAA in there as well, and for whatever reason, that just never kind of caught on with me. And I think it's because CMLL is really one of the very last of the old school style wrestling promotions that have kind of, by and large, stuck with their old traditions and stuck with, stuck with just everything that they've presented over the decades. It's the same family's been running it for decades and decades and decades. And I mean, as you see in my piece, like, they actually have adapted in terms of like technology. It was very much like a high definition national TV broadcast that I was that was being taped on Friday night. But there's just, when I watch CMLL, I don't like sit in front of my TV anticipating it every Saturday, but it'll be on my DVR and I'll end up watching it. When I'm watching CMLL, I feel like I don't even need to know the language. I don't speak Spanish, but you don't even need to know what the announcers are saying to just kind of intrinsically get that you're watching an old school product that, does wrestling in a certain way, even though it's culturally different than what we expect here, in that they're honoring their history, they're honoring their legendary characters. There's something, again, that when I'm watching CMLL on TV, that just kind of breaks through the cultural kind of barriers and the language barriers, and it just hits that note that, hey, this has more in common with the wrestling that I grew up with than it might appear on the surface. So that was the original appeal of it to me.
So obviously you wanted to plan this trip to go to go see some action in person. What prompted what gave you kind of the final push to actually go do it?
So it was actually 2 years ago. I went to Mexico City for MMA fighting to cover UFC 188, which was when Fabricio Werdum became Velasquez to win the heavyweight championship. And I really loved the city, but I was working all week as well. So there were, it's not like I was able to get out and do much touristy type of stuff. So this trip, Lucha Libre was a part of the trip, but it was just a long weekend that was planned in Mexico City that also included like going out to visit the pyramids and, a few other, some of the museums and stuff in Mexico City. So Lucha was it wasn't my sole reason for being there, but it was definitely, I would go so far as to say like my most anticipated part of the trip.
And did you come away with any Lucha masks in your bag?
Let's see. We've got Santo, Blue Demon, and Dr. Wagner.
Very nice.
Yeah, I got to go with all the old school guys.
And you came away with a t-shirt as well. And the experience, one of the things that I really liked, I was telling you this, we were shooting the shit before we started recording, was one of the things I like about this, and I think being, and I hope that future generations get this way. I don't know why they wouldn't, but I think just because of the internet age, I kind of worry about this stuff, is that, you mentioned the Boston Garden, and I'm a New England guy. I'm originally from Maine. You're a Massachusetts guy. Like you, we get going to the Boston Garden. We get the allure of seeing old school WWF there, and people have done this with, as you mentioned, these old school arenas, Maple Leaf Gardens, Madison Square Garden, Mid-South Coliseum, all these other places around the country, around the world, and that people go, and you hit on this, that when you walked in Arena Mexico, it had that it had that allure, kind of that smell, that feel, and all that stuff. And that was one of the things I really enjoyed about the piece, was that a lot of us that came up through the 80s, and even before, like, we understand what that not slickly produced product felt like, tasted like, felt like to us. And that's why so many of us got into it. And I think a lot of reasons why so many of us are kind of like, have skewed aside throughout the year. So the one thing that I took away from the feature was that that still exists in this little pocket of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, again, just the moment that they take you through the runway and take you down towards your seats, you just feel like I guess, you know, something you can compare it to, if you're younger, is like maybe the first time you go to Wrigley Field or Fenway Park or, I don't know, the L.A. Coliseum or any – pick your favorite historic baseball or football venue and just kind of looking around and kind of taking in that vibe. It was absolutely there at Arena Mexico, and I don't know where else in wrestling you still have this these days. You know, I guess you could – I guess you can say you can go to WWE at Madison Square Garden and you're still in the same place that Bruno and Hulk Hogan and Bob Backlund and all them were in. But other than that, and, you know, what, Korakuen Hall, Sumo Hall, Budokan Hall in Japan, there aren't too many left. And, you know, I don't know how many other people are actually going to make a trip to Mexico City simply to do what I did. But I would say, if you are an old school guy and if you are in kind of my age bracket and you did go to one of those old school wrestling Barnes as a kid, then you're going to feel it for sure, because I know I did.
So out of the whole trip, what is the whole experience? What's the one thing that stood out to you the most?
You're talking about Arena Mexico?
Yeah.
Man, one thing. That's hard to narrow down. You know, really, as cliche as it sounds, like, just the passion of the fans and just that they seem to be having fun, you know, and that I was, they weren't sitting, I wasn't speaking the language, but, you know, they seemed to be just reacting to the faces and the heels and what they were doing. And, in an old school kind of way, there were no chance of, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? There was, it seemed to be enjoying the show and not trying like too hard to be hipsters about it. It just a bunch of fans having a real fun night out, and it made for, I mean, it was a sensational show. I'm sure it's not like that every Friday night, you know. I'm sure it's partially the reason why this piece might have clicked the way it did, is because I just happened to be there on a Friday night where the crowd was red hot and the matches were great. Yeah, just the energy and the atmosphere and, just the reaction of the fans to what they were seeing was just, something pretty special.
So you actually got the answer wrong. The correct answer was the double beers, the double Victorias that you had. That was really your key takeaway from the whole thing. I can't believe you forgot that.
You know, I had so much of it that maybe it got a little hazy, but yeah, about, two full beers for about $3.50. Can't go wrong.
You can't beat that. It makes up for the guy taking a little bit more of your money at the ticket booth.
For sure.
That's great. The one thing I want to move on to some UFC talk, but you mentioned the this is awesome chance, and does, you know, being out in LA, obviously you have access to, you know, to PWG and some other groups and, you know, and other wrestling in general. Is that something that turns you off about today's product is, I don't want to say the fan involvement, but you know what I'm kind of getting at? Like the fans are almost like they try to be a little bit too much part of the show and kind of take away from the action. Is that something that has turned you off from watching a lot of kind of the indie, some of the more of the indie stuff?
A little bit. You know, I don't. So, for example, I haven't been to a PWG show just in part because it's so damn hard to get tickets.
Yeah.
Like I would go to a show if I happened to be around and could get my hand on tickets. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the flip side of this is that these are the fans that are also supporting indie wrestling and helping these guys make a, guys and gals make a living. And if you buy a ticket, you have a right to say what you want, but at the same time, you know, just, I don't know, it seems to get a little bit overdone sometimes, and it's not like a primary reason why I go to less wrestling than I used to, but, you know, sometimes it just makes me roll my eyes a little bit.
You see, you got to get hooked up with the other Dave, Dave Meltzer. He's a fixture at those shows. And I mean, he needs a bodyguard at some of these things as well, because he gets just swarmed by the fans. You know, he's showing off the abs and doing all this stuff. So, you know, he could use a good wingman, you know?
I don't have any abs to show off.
Well, let's flip to the, and again, for people, definitely check it out. And even if you don't skew, if you're a lapsed fan, I think you will, you'll obviously enjoy the piece as well. So very well done. And, you know, hopefully it works out.
Thank you.
Maybe do some more features, something like that along the road. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Let's see. I want to flip. We'll go really kind of, we'll jump around a little bit for some MMA news. There's some stuff that came out Friday, which is very convenient for us. But really, on Saturday, we have this FS1 show in Sweden, Stockholm. And really, there's only one. I mean, there's only one fight I'm really that interested in. It's the main event of Gustafsson Teixeira. You know, could be a title eliminator in a lot of cases, depending on kind of where the division is, and who knows if John Jones actually makes it to that rematch with Cormier coming up. The rest of it's a lot of just local guys and just a lot of. A lot of filler on this show. This is a tough one. As you kind of look at that fight, is there anything that you're kind of catches your eye about that, or is it just to you just kind of one of those shows, so to speak?
Yeah, it's one of those shows, and I'm as you were kind of giving that build up there in the back of my head, I'm thinking like, well, I need to come up with something interesting to say about this, but it really is just. You know, it's just one of those nights that you get through to get through them. I big long sigh is all I have for you there. Gustafsson has more to lose than gain in this one. We haven't seen him in a while, and you know, Glover's a guy that's tough and he's well respected, but also a guy that hasn't really come up big in his biggest matches in the UFC. So, you know, Gustafsson needs to come out basically, and where he's been out as long as he has, kind of put on a show a little bit, you know, try to finish a super, super tough guy in Glover, and prove that he still should be in the mix, because he's already lost to both Cormier and Jones in what were absolutely fantastic, kind of all-time memorable type of fights. But he's been away for so long, and Jimmy Manua has kind of slipped ahead of him in line. You know, he needs to come out and make a statement that says that, hey, guys, I know you guys have forgotten about me, but I'm still here, and I'm still the same Alex Amal you remember. And, that's about it there. Obviously, for Teixeira, if he can pull off the upset here, then he gets himself back into the mix. But sure, it's you know, a lot of pressure on Gustafsson to show that he still matters, essentially.
So Gustafsson, 30 years old as of mid-January, so he's still in his fighting prime. But he took on, you mentioned the Jones fight took a lot out of him, I'm sure, the Cormier loss. But he's, you alluded to this, he's really been off the map, and that's why a lot of people have kind of forgot about him. You know, he had the run where he's fighting, you know, basically about twice a year. But after that Cormier fight, he didn't fight until September 2016. That was a fight against Jan Blachowicz. And he won that one as unanimous decision, but kind of just all right, get back in there. And we're sitting here in Memorial Day week, and he's finally back in there. Just he's over in Sweden. He's not a big talker. Just he's kind of been a ghost in the division in a lot of ways. And I think you're right. He needs a big statement here on Saturday to kind of reestablish himself and say, hey, look, I beat Manoa before. I should be next in line for a title shot. He's still got a good run in him. I just would like to see a little bit more consistency. But I guess we'll see what he has left in the tank starting on Saturday night.
Yeah. I really have nothing to add there. You pretty much summed it up.
That's right. That's why I'm the host of this show, award-winning Dave Doyle. We're award-winning show. and then Glover, you know, this is kind of just indicative of this whole division. These guys are now starting to kind of These guys have not fought before, but it feels like they fought before. There's only like so many fresh matchups in this division now. And the fact I think we're looking at Jimmy Manoah as a fresh face, that should be kind of telling us something about what's going on at light heavyweight in 2017. But yeah, Teixeira coming off the unanimous decision win over Jared Cannonier back at UFC 208. That was pretty nondescript. He's won four of his last five, but again, an older guy. He's got one title shot before. If he comes through with something impressive, it's hard to erase the memory of that quick KO loss to Anthony Johnson. But I mean, look, now Anthony Johnson is retired and going into the marijuana business. So I don't know who knows. It's like heavyweight division. It's such a mess. It is such a mess. So we'll get into some news from today and a couple interesting news. So I guess we'll start with Roy Nelson. So Roy Nelson, a free agent after his last fight in UFC, and out of nowhere, wasn't really a long courting period. It was just all of a sudden announced today that he is going to be signing with Bellator. An official announcement should be coming up next week. Obviously, probably won't reveal any terms of the contract or length of fights, maybe necessarily, but you can probably imagine maybe like, you know, four to five fights or six fights. There's probably four fights is my guess. And, you know, he's a name. He's a guy that Scott Coker has worked with before, back in the Strikeforce days, somewhere or the Elite XC days. He's worked with it at some point in the past. But he's a name. He hasn't exactly put on a lot of great performances out of the last couple of years. He takes a lot of punishment. But he's just kind of a name. So I don't blame them for signing him. But I don't know if we're necessarily putting him in the, you know, the top five of the division. Roy Nelson of Bellator, what's your take on that?
I think it's a pretty good move, actually, because we have to keep in mind that, you know, that Bellator is not looking to build out a super deep heavyweight division. Nelson is the type of fighter that, you know, I think he fits in well with Bellator's kind of plan for their quarterly TV fights, because is you know, as much flack as Nelson takes, and even with, I think he lost something like five out of his last seven fights or something like that, even with that, when he's introduced in the arena, he gets a massive ovation. There's a big segment of the crowd out there that absolutely loves Roy Nelson for what he is, and kind of understands and appreciates him for who he is and what he brings to the table. And I think that's something that can translate into a cable TV rating for Bellator if you match him up with, you know, with a Matt Mitrione or with, God forbid, Jack Congo, or maybe not Jack Congo, but, you know, right. Hey, Roy Nelson versus Fader, why not, you know?
Right.
So I think that this is, considering where Roy Nelson is, doesn't make much sense for him to stay in the UFC and just kind of keep taking 15-minute beatdowns from some of the top in their prime guys in the division. So I think this is a good move for both sides. You know, Roy takes Roy goes out there and delivers a couple of the sort of fights that the fans enjoy seeing out of him, and he doesn't necessarily take 500 shots to the head a fight like he has been in recent fights. So I give this one a thumbs up.
Yeah, I do too. I think what they'll do, and I mentioned this earlier, that he's going to be like the king of Thackerville, Oklahoma, right? Some of those Windstar casino shows, you know what I mean? He's going to be like headlining this stuff, and yeah, he's going to be a king there, an absolute king. Some of these smaller shows, you know, they'll line him up with somebody that he can beat, you know, someone that he could do one of these Friday night main events against, you know, Joe Schmo, that they'll find that they know that he can handle pretty well. And yeah, I think that they'll ease him into that fatal role. And again, it really just depends on him. If he's up for fighting for a couple more years, does he have a certain exit plan in mind? But I think he is you're right. I think he's a name and someone that you look at, someone like Chael Sonnen. You know, Sonnen got rolled his first fight in against,
sure,
Tito Ortiz, and they just kind of keep on moving, and now he's headlining a pay-per-view. So I don't think he's going to do that, but you could easily put if they're looking to expand out in the pay-per-view business and they're looking to get into the interesting names that people know business, you know, yeah, if Fedor is going to stick around for a while, you could definitely do a Fedor and Nelson fight in another run at pay-per-view or something along those lines. So yeah, he's a name, and I think what they're doing is the kind of build the name, sign the names from the top, and then build from the bottom up, and hopefully at some point they're going to cross over.
Agreed. So I think, again, it's a win-win for both sides here.
So the other news of today was that GSP said that he is, you know, this whole GSP Bisping thing has been such a mess. And we thought we were finally going to get some clarity this week, getting the announcement that there's going to be an interim middleweight title fight coming up here this summer at with Yoel Romero and Robert Whittaker. And that GSP Bisping obviously saying that his knee is hurt. Now GSP saying that the reason that he can't fight this summer is because of an eye injury. And he didn't exactly go into any details, but that the doctor said that he can't necessarily see straight and that they need to give him clearance, but it's going to be cleared up by the fall. And that's when he's going to be able to do this. So it seems inevitable that we are going to still get GSP at Bisping at some point this fall, right? Now it seems like there's no way we can avoid it.
Yeah, whether we want it or not, and I'm not sure that I do, it's pretty convenient how I shouldn't be openly questioning this, but it seems, a little convenient that when they hinted that the fight was going to be off, that Bisping, his knee all of a sudden flares up again. And, now GSP, rather than take another fight, has an eye injury. I don't know. Maybe this is all legit. Maybe this is all valid. I think in GSP's case, if we're going to take all of this at face value, I think if GSP really has had an eye injury all this time, then, he would have served himself better by speaking up sooner, because by not doing so and just kind of leaving the fight timetable hanging out there, it led to too many questions. It led to too much fan frustration, and it didn't reflect well on George, because by covering this up, people are sitting around going, well, why do you need 9 months to train, whatever length of time to train for a fight? So, if this is valid, then yeah, sure. I mean, I think GSP didn't do himself any favors by waiting for now to reveal that. Bisping, when he got faced with the prospects of fighting Yoel Romero, that knee sure flared up on him pretty quickly. But, yeah. The way this all kind of aligns, it looks like we're going to get Bisping versus GSP one way or another. And in the meantime, I'm really excited about that Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker fight. And I'm almost tempted to, this is the first time for the UFC has been handing out interim titles like their Halloween candy over the past year, but this is the first time that this almost seems like, hey, maybe Romero and Whittaker, the winner of this one's actually kind of the real champ.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird situation. And I'm just going to say for now that I'm really going to enjoy the Romero versus Whittaker fight. And we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, so let's go kind of quick hit through some of the kind of big reveals this week. Was that we are getting that fight at the co-main event coming up this summer, International Fight Week, Romero versus Whittaker, and we obviously know you're very excited about it. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fight. Romero is just a freak of nature. He is a guy in his late 30s as well, built like the proverbial brick shithouse, and is just knocking guys out. Some of his wins have been a little bit controversial, obviously, with the Tim Kennedy stuff and everything like that. And he obviously had the drug issues that, who knows about the supplements, all that stuff. Regardless, he is in a position now where he's undefeated in the UFC, taking on Robert Whittaker, who is like the story of this middleweight division in a lot of ways in the past, 6 months, year. He's just kind of, he went up a division. He is now just kind of just slowly, quietly making his way and just knocking guys out and looking impressive and doing it. And he is, I favor Romero in that fight, but Whittaker, I would not be surprised if he puts on another one of these amazing performances that kind of completes the journey in a lot of ways. And just one of these stories that kind of just, I wouldn't say came out of nowhere, but almost relative nowhere compared to some of the other, big spotlights of the division.
Absolutely. And you know what, with Whittaker, I don't know about you, but like, for example, so he keeps winning fights and you're thinking like, wow, this guy's on a nice run. He's a fun guy to watch. But you're kind of wondering like where his window's going to be. And then that victory over Jacare a couple months ago was just one of those like, wow, the whole division just shifted type of performances. It was such a breakthrough, hey, this guy's a legit contender performance. And after that fight, like I tend to agree with you. I kind of tend to favor Romero, but this, I am never going to like completely count Robert Whittaker out again. And I think this should be one hell of a fight.
What about the potential for Demetrius Johnson and TJ Dillashaw for the flyweight title in August? Do you like that? Are you on the Ray Borg bandwagon here for a fight with DJ instead? Where do you sit on that whole debacle?
I really like the idea of the fight, and I also don't blame Mighty Mouse for playing hard to get on this one. So there's kind of two separate streams of thought here that maybe seem contradictory, but you know, to get to the first one, I mean, so we don't know how long Cody Garbrandt's going to be out, and I don't know if you've ever had back pain, but you know, that back injury, just trying to go through your day-to-day life with a back injury is tough without even trying to fight for a living. So those things can be tricky, and Garbrandt could be out longer than we suspect. So with that in mind, I think, you know, if you're Dillashaw, and the only loss you've had recently was a razor-thin fight with Dominick Cruz, where else are you going to go? And I don't really buy the idea that somehow Ray Borg is being like completely robbed of a title shot if he doesn't get it. It's not like we're talking about someone who is absolutely mowed through the division here.
Right.
And, you know, I think this is more akin to when Frankie Edgar dropped down to featherweight and was given an immediate shot at Jose Aldo's title, you know. It's a former champion who's going down a weight class, so that kind of mitigates things somewhat. Now, if I'm Demetrius Johnson, and you know, I really can't blame Mighty Mouse for I think he's just trying to hold out for a better deal. At the end of the day, if he gets the money that he wants, the contract that he wants, I think this fight gets made. But you know, as great as Demetrius Johnson has been in the ring, he's never really had or never really tried to use any sort of leverage. And I think at this point where the UFC wants that fight up in Seattle in August, and where when we get past like UFC 214, we're going to hit another one of those stretches where there aren't too many, you know, real interesting. We're blowing through a lot of big title matches in a short period of time again. I think the UFC kind of needs Mighty Mouse for this date more than Mighty Mouse needs this fight. So I can't blame him for, you know, for kind of playing tough to get here.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I love this fight, and I'm kind of just putting the sanity check aside with how we tend to view divisions and how we want this clarity and all this. And I realize that not really loving when the Bisping GSP fight was announced. I understand it's a little bit hypocritical for me to say I like this one. However, what I love about it is that Demetrius, this is the most interested I've been in a fight of his in a long time, because I think this is a true, legitimate challenge for him. This is a guy that
he's
never fought flyweight before, but assuming he can make the weight, he is talented. I was there in Boston that night when he razor thin decision win against Dominick Cruz. I would have loved to see that fight again, you know, that, but I don't really know where Dom Cruz is at right now. However, I think in the midst of them trying to make interesting fights and them trying to do something with this dominant champion and a guy that is looking to go down, who knows if he'll actually stay there if he wins. That's a whole nother story. But I just like it from an athletic standpoint. I think these two guys at the top of their game right now, I mean, who knows about when Cody Garbrandt is going to be able to fight again. As you mentioned, the back injuries. I just love it because I want to see Demetrius Johnson get challenged. I hope he gets his money. If this fight happens, I think it's great. If he wins this fight, I think that puts him in a different – I think that the people that really have a tough time kind of getting on his bandwagon for whatever reason, I think that they see this fight, if he wins it and wins it in a very impressive fashion, it's like, I think it's someone they know. I think they're going to be, they're kind of come away, they'll be like, okay, we're on board now for whatever reason. As messed up as that is, I think that's just going to be the way it is.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think Demetrius, like, I feel like Demetrius Johnson could defend his title successfully like another 50 times over the next like 20 years, and other people are still going to hate him. Yeah. But you know, at this point for me, like you know what, if you don't like Demetrius Johnson, I'm not even going to waste time like like arguing with you anymore. If you don't appreciate greatness when it's right in front of you, you know, there's, you can only lead the horse to water, you know. But I agree that if defeating T.J. Dillashaw doesn't cement his legacy, then with some people, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I'd agree. Final question. We're coming up on a huge run of events this summer. I think it's like one every single week in June and in July. It's like, you know, one of these nine event stretches in 8 weeks or something crazy like that. What fight over the summer that is announced right now are you looking forward to the most?
Man, I really love Nunez versus Shevchenko. I really intrigued by Douglas Lima against Lorenz Larkin at Bellator NYC in June. I'm down for DC versus John Jones again if that fight happens, which I'm not going to believe it's going to happen until I actually see two guys in the cage at the Honda Center in Anaheim.
Yep.
I don't know if I can narrow it down to one, man. There are just so many fights. Oh, okay, fine. I'll narrow it down to one. Donald Cerrone versus Robbie Lawler. I don't know if I even have to explain that one any further. If you don't like that, there's really no point watching MMA.
I would agree with that, and I think that is a perfect way to end it. I will throw out that for thanks to that press conference, which was a lot of wrestling, you know, a lot of wrestling parlance, and just the way it is that Chiesa versus Lee. I am now completely tuned into that fight. I'm like, why are these guys headlining a show? And now all of a sudden it's like, I want to see these guys headline an FS1 show. I can't wait to see that fight. But to your point, yeah, Lawler versus Cerrone is going to be great. It's something we've wanted for a long time. Jones Cormier too. And there's a lot of interesting main events going on this summer. Derek Lewis versus Mark Hunt. I think that's going to be a lot of fun as well. And a fight that's being overlooked that's coming up in like just over a week, Jose Aldo versus Max Holloway. And we're finally going to get some clarity at featherweight and kind of move on from the McGregor era. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun as well. So been very gracious with your time. I appreciate it. So obviously we talked about the Arena Mexico piece, but I want to give throw the microphone to you. Do your best superstar Billy Graham and give the people where they can follow you on social media and any other stuff they should be looking forward to. The floor is yours.
I think I'm more Bob Backlund in front of the microphone, superstar Billy Graham, but thank you.
Which era Bob Backlund? Current or the old Bob Backlund?
I can be Mr. Backlund sometimes, but he hasn't been brought out quite yet today. So I work for MMAfighting.com. I have a Facebook page at facebook.com/DaveDoyleMMA, DAVE. DOYLE MMA, and my Twitter page is Dave Doyle MMA, DAVE, DOYLE MMA. So thank you.
And thank you. So, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Dave Doyle, thanks so much for joining Josh Nason's Punch Out this week. Welcome back.
You got it. Thanks.
All right. Big thanks to Dave Doyle for stopping by. You can follow him on Twitter, Facebook. Obviously, read his piece on our site and also check out obviously his work at MMA Fighting. One thing we did not get to, Rory McDonald having a very impressive debut in Bellator. I was certainly way off in my prediction that the Paul Daly fight was going to be a very boring 15-minute affair. It turned out to be a pretty fun fight and really one-sided. Rory just using the size, dominating, and looks to be in pole position to fight for the title next. So I guess we'll see who he takes. Who the winner of that is going to be between who he will face, the winner of Lima and Larkin coming up at that Bellator pay-per-view in June. So good position, and his money amount came out. I think it was around $450,000, I believe, is his contracted amount, if that is to be believed. Didn't sound like he was denying it. So if so, good for him, making some coin. Had some nice Everlast trunks on, and this continued. Where's the money going for the UFC guys? And you see, someone go over to Bellator, make a lot of coin right away, and do pretty well for themselves, and get a nice main event slot. These are things that guys are noticing. So with Roy Nelson signing with Bellator, free agency is going to be very interesting, and obviously how much that Bellator has for a budget. I know that I've heard interviews or heard people talk to Scott Coker. And he said basically that the Viacom said, go ahead and build the 27 Yankees. And so it looks like he's trying to do everything he can, being aggressive. Gegard Mousasi is still out there as a free agent as of the time of this recording, saying he didn't really care for the UFC's offer. He's a guy that's worked with Scott Coker before. So, you know, it's interesting times. And if they can amass a roster, the one concern that I have is, and this would be any fan's concern, is the pay-per-view aspect of it. If they can turn into a very heavy pay-per-view company and less away from the TV product, there's only so much money to go around, and potentially that could hurt them a little bit. And, you know, you don't want that. They had some really good momentum going. So we'll see how this pay-per-view does. It sounds like they want to do more pay-per-view. My hope is that they do not turn into a solely pay-per-view model, which I don't think they will be. But, you know, it'll be something to kind of watch here in the rest of 2017 and 2018 as well. Let's see. That's about it. So we'll give you the rest of your weekend back. Appreciate you stopping by, listening to the show. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Big thanks to Dave Doyle. Big thanks to all of you. This has been Josh Nason's Punch-Out. And until next time, insert catchphrase here.